And for those of you that want to see the rest of the ball game, you get home and watch the last inning probably, right? All right, open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. This morning we started part one of a message called What Do Christians Believe? And we mentioned this morning that we believe that He is the Christ. Amen? He's the anointed one, the promised Messiah that should come into this world. We believe that He saves us from our sins and that His blood cleanses us. And He sanctifies His people. He reconciles us to God. And we mentioned that we are set apart from the world. He sets us apart from this old world unto Himself. We also mentioned that we believe that He has power. All power, and He's able to destroy evil, and one day He will destroy all evil. We mentioned that He's able to save us to the uttermost, and He's able to finish what He has started in our life, and that takes care of the security of the believer. Sometimes Christians are afraid they might lose their salvation, but we cannot lose it because it is eternal and because God finishes what He starts. Amen? And what else do Christians believe? Well, in Romans chapter 14, and notice in verses 1 through 4, He's able to make us to stand. And we do need to stand for the Lord in this day. We need to stand publicly in the workplace, wherever we go. We need to stand for Him and stand up for Him. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him to stand. Now let's pray. Father, thank you again for tonight, the opportunity to be with your people and to share the Word of God. May your Holy Spirit give us ears to hear of the things of God tonight. We love you and we thank you for your many blessings already poured out upon your church today. We pray that this message would encourage us to serve you this week and to stand for you and to be willing to answer people of the hope that lies within us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 4, a great verse that says that God is able to make him to stand. And the scripture says that we do not have really the right to sit in judgment of others. We are in a race, true, as Paul says. We're running in a race, but we're not competing with each other. We're competing against ourselves. We're all in the race of life. Jesus is the finish line. Amen? Some of you have been running this race a short time. Some have been running a long time. But we all have the same finish line, and that's to get home to be with the Lord. Amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I wonder what it's going to be like to see Him. I wonder what it's going to be like to say our first words to Him as the Savior as we go home. It's going to be very memorable. Amen? I think we all begin by just saying thank you. I know in our prayer meetings on Wednesday night, the men get together and pray, and one of the men in particular always begins his prayer with thank you. And, you know, that's a good way to start our prayers, amen? Amen. To thank and to thank Him for our many blessings. And then to tell Him about our desires that He already knows about and to talk to the Lord about the concerns that we have. And He does invite us to come to Him with all of our burdens. Amen? Casting all your care upon me, He says, for he careth for you. And no one ever cares for you like Jesus. Isn't that true? That used to be Mrs. Miller's favorite hymn, John. I remember she used to call out that hymn number many years ago. But the scripture says He's able to make us to stand. Christians believe that He is able to make us to stand. And this was written in Romans, especially to the Jews, because they were in the habit from the Old Testament of judging others according to the Old Testament. But Christians in this dispensation are answerable only to God. Amen? We answer to God, each of us individually. And the Lord will show His approval or His disapproval of the decisions that we make down here. And so, what do Christians believe? We believe that He's able to make us to stand. He's able to enable us to withstand. Did you ever go through a very difficult time and after it was over you said, "Praise God, I'm glad that's over"? Well, God is able to make us to stand up during those difficult times. And it's only as we get grace from Him. Oh, when you're young, you know, to you, emergency is like so-and-so didn't talk to me today. It's like the end of the world. Well, as you get older, the trials get a little more tougher than that. Amen? And if you live long enough, you'll even go through some very, very difficult times that might even rattle the pictures on your wall. But you know what? As a believer, God will help you to withstand and to get through any situation because God is able to make all grace abound unto us so that we can withstand. And He's able to make us to stand. And when we go through difficult times, that is the time that the world really watches us. They really watch to see how we respond to the same situations that happen in their life. Can we go through those situations with grace? Can we go through those situations with peace? Can we go through the situation knowing that God is in control of all things? And it makes a big difference in our testimony. But what do Christians believe? We believe that He's able to make us to stand. We also believe that He's able to keep us. To keep us from falling, to keep us from going in a false direction. I'd like you to look at Jude, verse 24. Jude, verse 24, right before the book of Revelation. Jude 24 is the benediction of the book, a very short book. 25 verses in this book. 66 books in our Bible, and this one book has 25 verses. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Wow, He's able to present us faultless. That takes a big imagination. Amen on our part. That God would present us faultless, the Lord Jesus, one day, when He presents us before God our Father, to be there in His righteousness and to be faultless before Him. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about, to present us faultless and keep us from falling. And this is the same word used in Colossians that talks about being unblameable before God. He can keep us from dishonoring God also. As we yield to Him when temptation comes. And so He's able to keep us from falling into temptation and into sin. He's able to keep us from falling from truth. You know, if we keep reading the Bible like we're supposed to each day and bathing our hearts and minds in the Word of God, it'll keep us from going away into false teaching. Amen? The Word of God is able to do that, the power of the Word. I made a short mention last week of Jim Jones. And he had over 1,000 people in his church commit suicide back in the 80s. Went to Guyana and formed a cult that started in California. And you say, well, how does a church go from a church to a cult? Well, it goes that way when the leader tells the people to close their Bible and listen to me. That was the day those people should have left that church. Amen? They'd be alive today if they knew enough about their Bible to continue with the Bible, in spite of what man may say. And as a result of that, I think there was close to 1,200, 1,100 people took their life of that day because of that one false teacher. And so we always encourage folks to read their Bible. And to spend time in it every day. Have a goal in reading your Bible. You know, New Year's Day is a good day to make some goals again for the new year. And even if you don't reach all your goals, you'll have a higher goal if you make some goals than if you don't make any goals at all. But I know some folks listen to the Bible in their drive to work. They're alone in the car. That's a good way to make the most of your time. Or you could listen to the Word of God every day. Just 3.5 chapters a day. You can listen to the Bible one time all the way through, from cover to cover each year. And it will help you grow. We teach our children in Sunday school, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And then another verse says, don't read your Bible, forget to pray. Forget to pray. Forget to pray. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And so the Word of God is so important in our life. What else do Christians believe? He's able to keep us. He's able to make all grace abound to us, as we said, in any time of need that we might have. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tonight, this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, talking about God's amazing grace that is He's able to pour out upon us, the amount of grace that we need for whatever situation that we are in. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. The Apostle Paul says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. His grace will sustain us in any situation. Notice he says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always or sometimes, always, having all sufficiency in some things or all things. Yeah, even those tough things, he's able to make God's grace to abound toward you. So we believe that God is able to make His grace known unto us in any situation. And He also wants to convince us that we won't be poor if we give. And this verse was actually about giving. And it was encouraging the people of God that even though they gave out of their poverty, that God was able to make it up in His abounding grace towards them. And so He does convince us also that we're not going to be poor by giving of ourselves unto Him, whether it's our time, our talents, or our money. And we're never more like the Lord than we're giving back when we're thinking of others. And God is the great giver. He's the great sustainer of this universe. And He allows us the privilege of living on this planet. Amen? It's hard to believe how this old world can just sit in space on nothing. You watch the Universe channel there. There's a program about the universe. I don't listen to the talking. I put it on mute. But I love to see those shots of Earth and space. And I love to see the planets from the satellites. And it just reminds me of how awesome our God is and how powerful and infinite He is. And that He would make a planet with perfect balance and enough sunlight and water and food to sustain the people that He has created. It's just very mind-boggling. But it is possible to become poor by living beyond our means. And if there ever was a challenge for young people today, when you leave the nest, you say, amen, I can't wait to get out there on my own, have my own apartment and have my own car and my own job. And amen, I rejoice with you when that day comes. But you've got to learn to live within your means. Amen. Or you'd be so far in debt today. Man, if you just miscalculate and just fill your car up on the wrong day, you'll be in behind $100 in some places. How do they do it in California? Do you anyone here have relatives in California? Over $5.50 a gallon for gasoline. It's hard to fathom how people survive out there. But in any event, we are living in perilous days, as the Bible speaks about, and just reminds us that these are days we need to pray for our nation and pray for our leaders and pray for God's will to be done in this next coming election. To be informed as citizens, it's our duty to be informed and then to just go out and vote our conscience. Amen? But this would probably be the most important election that we've ever had. And so we just encourage all of you to be informed and to go out and vote and to do your duty as far as that is concerned. But yes, you can overspend and not have enough to go around, spending more than we earn, and it's hard to find good examples around us of institutions that are doing that, especially in our government. I can't even fathom 16 trillion anything. Someone sent me an email of what $1 trillion looks like. And they had a picture of a man who was 6 feet tall and a stack of $100 bills, 6 feet tall. And it was put on a wooden crate. What do you call the bottom of those pallets? Wooden pallet. And that one pallet had $100 bills stacked up 6 feet tall. And then it had like 10 pallets of $100 bills 6 feet tall. And then it went back like 3 football fields, all $100 bills, and they said, that's $1 trillion. And I'm thinking, my goodness, that's a lot of money, and that's a lot of debt, and there's no way we're going to be able to sustain that. I mean, it'll be a miracle if we could just put the brakes on the spending. Amen? And then think about how to, you know, eliminate it. But in any event, the days in which we live are very perilous, but God can give us the grace to do His will and to accomplish the things that He wants us to do. But we believe that He's able to also, what do Christians believe? We believe He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. Philippians chapter 3 says, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. That's quite an exchange. Our vile body for His glorious body. It's quite a trade-off. Someone said that man started dying the day he was born. And so that is very true. From the moment that we're born, we start dying and the deterioration begins. But He is able to subdue all things unto Himself because He is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. And yet, being sovereign, He wants to reveal His personal will in each individual life. And there's joy when you do God's will. Sometimes God's will is not always easy, is it? Sometimes it's difficult. But a Christian has peace when he does God's will, or she does God's will. God always leads, and He leads us in three ways. He leads us in His Word. He'll never lead us to go against His Word. He leads us in inner peace. All my ways are peace. And thirdly, He is sovereign. He leads us through circumstances. And so that is the way we are to know God's will for our individual life. And sometimes, you know, we can't see it when somebody else makes a choice. And we say, well, that can't be God's will for you. Well, you're not them. Amen? We're going to have a hard enough time answering for our own lives when we meet the Lord. And He shows us our whole life. And, you know, the places where we made bad choices, maybe. What we could have had, what we should have done. But we're, in the end result, we're all answerable to God and for ourselves. And to do God's will. But this is also a direct reference to His ability to resurrect the dead that stand before Him. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so it's in reference to his ability to resurrect the dead, to stand before him one day. And it may be incredible to our carnal nature to think about this power in this way, but with God nothing shall be impossible. And the fact that we've experienced his new birth, he's resurrected our spiritual life, then we know that the resurrection is a reality and we all are going to stand before him one day, because he has resurrected us already spiritually. And so we know that he's going to do the same with this physical body one day. He's going to bring it up, bring it back. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 32. Let me turn there. You can just listen if you like. Or you can turn there or write it down. Acts chapter 17 and verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again in this manner." So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. And so we see the two results there, two results of the preaching or the speaking on the resurrection. Some people will just mock the very thought about it, that God will resurrect them from the dead. You know, one of my tracts I like to give out is called This Is Your Life. Do you ever read it? It's a cartoon booklet. And this fellow that lives his life for himself and dies without faith in Christ, he's being resurrected on the judgment day by an angel, and he's going through space. And he's saying, "This can't be happening to me. I don't believe in God." And the angel is bringing him up to face God. And, you know, to some people, their carnal nature does not allow them, for whatever reason, to believe in a resurrection. And to talk to them, some will mock the very thought about it, just like they mocked the Apostle Paul here. And in verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again." That's procrastination. You know, to put off that decision is dangerous. It's not as bad as mocking, but it is dangerous to put it off. But some said, "We'll hear you again." It's a fatal procrastination to put off that kind of a decision. But our spiritual resurrection is really the pledge that our body will be resurrected also. And it will not be a change of our identity. We're going to have the same identity in glory. We don't lose the fact of the essence of who we are. And I kind of like that. We're going to know as we are known. We're going to know people that we have never met. People we've read about in the Bible. Amen? People that have gone on before us. But there will be a change of fashion, a change of form. And that's another thing that Christians believe, that he's able to subdue all things unto himself. We also believe he's able to keep his promises. Oh, I'm so glad when the election cycle's over. You can memorize the stump speech from all the candidates. And it seems like people are very good at avoiding direct questions and turning it around so that they try to say whatever it is they want to say. But I'm so glad that God always keeps his promises. Amen? I mean, down here, sometimes we mean to keep our promise or we mean to keep our word. And sometimes circumstances prevail even against maybe something that we promised to do. I know that when we make promises to our children, they really want us to keep them. Amen. You make a promise to someone in your Sunday school class or on the bus route, they don't forget those things. You know? And so we need to try our best to keep our word, but God is the only one who always keeps his promises. Romans chapter 4, verse 21 says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." I'm glad we serve a God that's able to perform all of the things that he promises. And that's what true faith is taking God at his word. I'm glad we serve a God that cannot lie. Amen. He's incapable of lying. It's not in his DNA. It's not in his character. We know that Satan is the father of lies. And he invented the very first lie. Faith says that God is able to do what he has promised. And so faith honors God. And we need to know his promises if we're going to claim them for our lives. To not know his promises is like having a checkbook and not writing checks out, even though you've got plenty of money in the bank. There are plenty of promises there for the asking. But we need to know what they are if we're going to talk to the Lord and claim them in our lives. What else do Christians believe? Well, we believe he's able to do everything that we ask or think. And that's pretty mind-boggling when you let your imagination go and you start thinking about things. God is able, he says in Ephesians 3, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." We can ask every good thing we have heard about in the scriptures that he has promised to do for us. And God's willingness, his ability is linked to his willingness to help us. And so we're grateful that we have a God who is willing to help us in all situations in our life. What parent does not want the best for their own children? Amen? Parents go without for their children. Parents go the extra mile for their children. Parents want their children to have a better life than they had. And our God is the same way, but only more so. He wants the very best for us. Lastly, Christians believe that one of these days, he's coming back. He's coming back for his church. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, "Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And this is what we tell others, that Jesus is coming back. We believe he's returning to this world one day. This same Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of man's mind, not the Jesus conjured up in someone's mind or their opinion, but the Jesus of the Bible is coming back one day, perhaps very soon. Many Christians say they believe he's coming soon, but do they really believe it? If they did, they would live accordingly. Amen? Did you ever wait for someone to come to your house? You got the house ready for them and you're listening for them to come. You're listening for the car, listening for the noise. That's the way the Lord wants us to live each day, with our ears in tune to him. He may be coming very soon, we don't know. But until then, we certainly have much in the Bible to be thankful for. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer tonight and we'll be dismissed. Father, help us to live each day according to what we believe, according to what we profess publicly. We thank you, Lord, for each promise in the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that you love us. We thank you for your blessings in our life. We thank you, Lord, for our church here, and we thank for every family. We ask, Lord, that you be with us during this week and give us your grace. And help us to live the Christian life the best that we can to please you. And Lord, help us to trust in you when things go a way that we don't expect, or there's just things occur in our life that there are no answers for, things we don't understand. Help us to trust you anyway. Because we know, Lord, that you do all things well. And so, Lord, we ask you to dismiss us with your blessing tonight and keep us in your care. Be with those that have special needs this evening in our church. be with those that have physical ailments. We thank you for bringing Bobby back to church and Sandra. We pray you continue the healing, Lord, in his life from his surgery. We thank you for the successful surgery of Richard. And Lord, for those in our church that are going through difficult times, those that are going through unemployment times, those that are looking for work, I pray that you'd open doors of opportunity for them so that they can meet the needs of their family. And so this evening, tonight, Lord, we thank you, we love you, and dismiss us with your blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Hope to see you Wednesday.
The busy streets and sidewalks, they suddenly grew still. As a band came through the entrance of the city.